All right, welcome to another Tom and Shane podcast. Hey, we're happy to be here with you today. And hey, if it's your first time here, hit that subscribe button and ring the notification bell. You'll always be notified when we have another podcast. We're here every Tuesday and Thursday at 10 o'clock Mountain Time, 9 o'clock Pacific, and I don't know, some other time, Central and Eastern. You figure it out. It's too early in the morning for me to think that hard, so... And if you'd like to support the show monetarily, hey, we'd love that. There's great benefits for doing that. That's in the description below. And also, we do these on StreamYard, and there's a link to a free sample of that in the description below. So we hope that you'll take advantage of that as well. And our topic today, we want to talk about, where's the water, Shane?
Exactly.
Where the hell is the water?
It segues great from volcanoes, which we talked about last week, because we wouldn't be here without volcanoes. But more importantly, wouldn't be here about water. So 2 points I want to make real quick. Water is a polar inorganic compound that is at room temperature, a tasteless and odorless liquid, nearly colorless, with a hint of blue. The simplest hydrogen chalogenide is by far the most studied, and hydrogen chalogenide is the group that it falls in, is the most studied chemical compound, and is described as the universal solvent for its ability to dissolve any substance, and this allows it to be the solvent of life. And the other thing that I found that was staggering to me, I didn't realize this, 4% of all water is in the atmosphere. 75% of water is contained in ice sheets or icebergs, or 75 on the planet. So melting the ice sheets on Greenland would raise the ocean level 23 feet, and melting the ice sheet of Antarctica would raise the level of the oceans by 187 feet. So the point is 75 frozen, 4% in the atmosphere. So that's 79% of the water on the planet. And so 11% is what makes up liquid water on the planet. And, knowing that 70% of the planet's covered in water is staggering.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I just wanted to get those numbers out real quick. Because that's a great that startled me.
Yeah. Well, excuse me. And speaking of rising sea levels, I keep looking, Shane, for the sale price of hotels on the beaches. I don't see it. I don't see people in Hawaii fleeing Hawaii because they're going to be underwater. So what's the deal?
Well, the staggering reality is the water came to Earth, as we talked about, before. It got here on comets. Comets are basically frozen water from the outer solar system. And it pounded the Earth millions of years ago, consolidated as frozen water, particularly on the poles, the North and South Poles. And if it wasn't for the age of volcanoes, that would never have melted. And at the time, we didn't have an atmosphere, but once the volcanoes erupted and started melting the water, it turned into steam turned into our atmosphere, and the rest is million year histories.
Yeah. And it only took a few short billion years for all this.
That's right.
Hardly worth talking about.
That's right.
Happened so fast. All right. Well, the big question is, who has water, Shane? Who doesn't have it? Who's got it? Who doesn't have it?
That's right. I mean, I'm sure you want to go through the numbers real quick, but it's fascinating. 20% of the fresh water is in Canada. So that's the coolest number. Yeah.
Well, they also tell me under the Amazon, Shane, is a river that's 10 times wider flowing under the Amazon. So I read that somewhere. So I
mean, that's right. And
there's water
that's
out
why,
there.
Yeah. That's right. The fresh water of Brazil is 12% of the water is fresh water. But Brazil contains over 70% of total fresh water. So That's pretty amazing. You know, you look at Russia, it's one of the primary holders of water. The United States, your country, you know, 23% of yours is underground, and 77% of yours is on the surface. And as I said, Canada has 20% of the fresh water. It's 77% of our water's above ground, and 23%, or excuse me, most our water, 80% is above ground. China falls in the place of five because it has gigantic, you know, rivers running through the country. And which is, it's interesting because a third of China basically is uninhabitable, except along the rivers that flow through the country. And there are some plains, you know, that exist in the country, but the rest of it's just sheer mountains, you know?
Yeah. Well, kind of same with Russia. Most of it is untillable, or at least a large percentage of it is untillable land. So, but do you see us exporting and importing water like we're doing gas and oil and everything else in the future? Is that where we're headed? Are we gonna?
We're gonna
be importing water from Canada.
This whole issue about oil and natural gas and coal will look meaningless in, you know, 50 years when the population of the planet peaks because of the need of water. So. Countries with fresh water will, you know, Nestea, they get water from the west coast of BC, big tankers, water tankers that they haul away from a beautiful waterfall of, you know, clear glacier water. So,
Well, we need to talk about, do we have enough wells, you know, to supply. I know here in Bozeman, where I live, for the benefit of people who might just be joining us, Shane's in Canada. And I'm in Bozeman, Montana. He's in Kamloops, Canada. And so, we're international. But, you know, talking about wells in North America, I guess, we have thousands of them. And here in, as I started to say, in Bozeman, where I live, water is a big issue here because we're a growing community. But, you know, we rely on the snow to melt and go flow into the reservoirs and all of that. If we don't have enough snow, then, you know, we can't water our lawns except on days that end in Y or something like that, you know. So I don't know.
That's right. And groundwater is the water that's present beneath the Earth's surface. So the remarkable thing about it is that it, you know, it's like oil or gas, you know, it falls into rock and spores and fractured rock that allows it to hold it. So 30% of the readily available fresh water in the world is groundwater. People confuse that, of course, with aquifers. Aquifers are layers, not, you know, they're specific layers, like you say, like it basically like an underground river. And, you know, and so those are the things that farmers around the world and people around the world want to, you know, get to is the groundwater or if, you know, if an aquifer is shallow enough, you know, an aquifer,
Yeah. How much do we need? How much do we need per person, per day, per whatever?
Well, when you look at the what, you know, everyone talks about, you know, what's the requirement of a human being? Most people will tell you about, for women, it's about 2.7 liters, 11 and a half cups per day. And for men, it's about 15 and a half cups or 3.7 liters. So, I mean, that's a lot of water just for human beings. And you have to have water within 5 days. I mean, you know, your body starts.
Dehydration sets in.
Dehydration sets in after 5 days. And 7 days, you're at a death period. I mean, anywhere after 7 days without any water,
We can live without food for a while, but boy, you got to have that water. That's for sure.
Well, 88% of our body's made up of water, and the rest are minerals. So we're just a bag of minerals and water.
Yeah. Well, isn't that what they said on Star Trek? One of the aliens said, "Ugly bags of water is what we are."
That's right.
Something like that. That's what we are.
And yeah, that's right. And, you know, as far as food, because you mentioned it, the needs of food is quite obvious. So 50% of the need for farm water is dairy. 98% of meat and wool production, of course, require it. 96% of crops require it. Mm-hmm. And 70% of potatoes, which are next to wheat and other seeds, requires a great deal of water. It's 70% water, and vegetables, sure, of course, 40% water.
But yeah. Yeah, here we do a lot of irrigation because we're in an arid area. You're in the breadbasket of Canada, but
that's right. fruit basket. From here east, mm-hmm, all the way to Ontario is the breadbasket of Canada, and down into the United States, and we feed ourselves and half the world. So it's pretty significant. It's a lot of water that we need.
There you go. Absolutely. So, well, Shane, is desalization is an answer, and that's where we take seawater, which is salt water, and desalt it, so to speak, and produce fresh water from that. So is that the future? I know there's several plants around the U.S. and Canada that do that. So
yeah, a lot of us would assume that Arab countries would be the ones who were leaders in desalination. Actually, the best technology was developed by the Israelis. Mm-hmm. There are a dozen desalination plants changing, salt water into fresh water in Texas, 17 in California. And, there's 11 in Florida. So, even Arizona has a desalination plant. So it's quite fascinating because it is it's a typical technology, you would expect that the world would utilize. The United Arab Emirates have the majority of the facilities in the Middle East, and it's just a little island, but they sell theirs.
That's what I'm wondering. Is water going to become more valuable than gold at some point? Are we going to money's going to be useless when we're going to be trading commodities back and forth?
Well, if you look at Trinidad and Tobago, been there, beautiful island in the Caribbean near Venezuela, a very small island. And they process 28 million gallons, U.S. gallons of water per day, at $2.67 per cent a gallon. So, there you go. That's where you and you look at it now. I mean, really, when you go into the store and you, mm-hmm, you grab a bottle of water, you don't think much about it. But I mean, water right now is in your country, mm-hmm, is more bottled water is more expensive than gallon of gasoline.
Yeah. Well, in some places, certainly we get into that. So, all right. Well, I don't know. With the water is always going to be an issue, but humans have found a way to figure it out for over 100,000 years. So I guess we're going to keep going. And the technology, of course, is going to improve on all these things as it always does.
That's
so,
right.
So I think we're pretty safe on the water standard. The oceans, on the other hand, it's about, what do we got, about 2 years before the oceans are total plastic?
You would think that, there are stories and some video of massive islands formed by the, plastic that's been...
thrown in rivers, thrown in streams,
Dow Chemical and Exxon have been working on a substance to actually break it down, mm-hmm, and make it more easily recoverable because it does float, mm-hmm, break it down into a liquid form so they can basically suck it up they do oil because they have, mm-hmm, so much technology and cleaning up oil. So hopefully that works out. That's great technology and innovation. That's the kind of thing we need.
Yeah. Well, you see some of these, like Bangladesh and some of these other countries where you can almost walk across the rivers running through towns because it's just total plastic. And I think that is probably a bigger pollution thing than, the Green New Deal or any of these other deals. You're going to clean up something,
globally in the last, and one of the things that's moved you know, the level of poverty in the third world, driven it so low, is that, you know, countries and the United Nations, great. They've spent over $1 trillion in the last 50 years, you know, to foment the development of water wells and water plants. And of course, in these third world countries, a lot of it's been stolen. So, like as you mentioned, countries like Bangladesh, Pakistan, Egypt, you know, they've had the opportunity to provide for their system citizens the water they need, but not a real exciting type of situation to get in there, because we just hear about it hear about it all the time. True. So there's three types of wells for everyone to know. There's bored wells by shovel or backhoe, driven wells by driving a pipe in the ground, and drilled wells. And of course, the whole context of this is, you know, what was the first one? Well, obviously, you know, the first one was dug, you know, so it's a dug or bored well, you know, 10,000 years ago, because of the Middle East and people subscribing to needing it to plant. Yeah. But, you know, the world, once again, the U.S. leads the world, entire world, of wells. They have the most water wells than any other place on the planet. And that's because, you know, you guys just don't sit around. I mean, you develop technology, you think something up, you not only share it with everybody, but, you know, you get her done.
Yeah. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. happy to help you out, Shane. I know you're in that third world country of Canada up there.
Yeah, so. Well, sometimes that's how I feel. Okay, so
one of these days you're going to have automobiles. Just keep the faith. No problem.
Hey, nothing's better than riding in a snow sled with springs. Okay.
There you are. Yeah, you got to.
You know, it's like those buggies of the the 19th century that they had in Europe for royalty. Yeah, it's fabulous.
That would be it. Okay. Well, all right. Well, I don't know about you. I think we whipped this horse to death today.
You think we got it done?
I don't know. I hope so.
Hey, I learned a lot reading about it, and I enjoyed it. So I'm happy to share it with everyone, because you should know about this stuff. And it's a great, you know, socially and professionally, great conversation to have with people. What do you know about water? Did you know? You know, it's one of those whimsical things you can talk about instead of politics and sex.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah. Well, I always talk about water right after sex. So,
especially when you're drinking it, right?
Yeah, that's the, a little bourbon and water are just
better.
Pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good stuff. So, all right, I need to remind you, we're on the radio every Saturday. That's a couple days from now. We're on the air from 8 to 11 Mountain Time. Listen live at KMMSAM.com. You don't have to join anything. You don't have to leave any personal information. All you do is go over there and click listen now. And you can call us, you can text us, all of those things are possible. And if you want to listen to any of our past broadcasts or these videos, those are also at KMMSAM.com. Click on Tom and Shane's podcast, and they'll take you right over there to get those. And we'd appreciate it if you would do all these things. And Linda, thanks for the great information. We appreciate that very much. Thanks for joining us, Linda. Always a pleasure.
Yes, indeed, Linda. Linda, you're fantastic. Oh,
yeah.
Tuesday tease. Next Tuesday, we're going to talk about nukes. Because you need to know the numbers, the truth.
They're
talking about it all the time on TV with this Ukrainian situation and Putin threatening. Yep. So we'll talk about the low-yield nukes and a bit of history of nukes and what you really need to know to be worried about it. So that's next Tuesday. Tell your friends and coworkers. Learn about nukes.
All right. It'll be fun. So, I've got a lot of interesting questions about nukes. So we'll see if we can answer those. All right. All right. Thanks for watching. Hey, don't forget to subscribe, ring the notification bell, like us, leave a comment. YouTube likes that stuff, and they'll move us up a little in the searches. So we really appreciate you guys. Thanking you for being with us, and we'll see you all on the next podcast. So bye for now. Thanks for being here, Shane, and we'll see you on the radio on Saturday.